Hello, everyone, and welcome to Katie.
I'm sorry. I thought I'd get in before
you would
went.
have. I'm sorry. You would have been done, but I just like you had the biggest yawn. boring you already. Okay, take two. To Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. I'm Kim.
And I'm Katie. And we're here to talk about singing and dancing and Bollywood boys.
Not as much the first two things.
Not for one of them.
Yeah, for one of the Bollywood boys, singing and dancing. For the other Bollywood boy, just...
He's just
fighting and anger.
Yeah, I was gonna say he's an angry young man.
He is indeed... this week we are talking about Diwar.
Yeah. And to be clear also, it's like, I think we need to acknowledge that the angry young man comes out of sad boy. He is a sad boy first.
Yes. Sad boy grows into angry young man.
Angry young man. I think it's important to acknowledge that.
I feel like you could write a whole thesis about that. There's really something there.
Yeah, it's applicable to life. Mm-hmm.
It absolutely is. Other than that insightful observation, what were your feelings about the movie?
I liked it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. It didn't knock my socks off.
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy it as much as I enjoyed Cholet. Like, from a pure entertainment standpoint, like, the storyline didn't capture me as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, I liked the heart behind it.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, okay, this isn't an action movie. This is, like, a struggle between two brothers.
Right.
Which maybe I should have just recognized that heading into it. I was expecting more action heavy.
Yeah.
Which is funny because I'm like, it's Yash Chopra. I should have registered that it would maybe be a little bit heavier on the emotional side. But yeah, what were your thoughts?
I really liked the first half. I was super invested in the story. I liked that, you know, it was, they were pitted against each other, but it wasn't like you were rooting for one over the other, really. Mm-hmm. Like, you could see both of their points, and I was like, oh, that's always interesting when there's two different compelling points being made and you're not, like, being told to choose sides.
Mm-hmm.
I found the second half kind of unsatisfying. Like, I think, and... maybe this would have been silly, but I really kept thinking we were gonna get more of this, like, anti-establishment.
Yeah.
Like, what is Vijay fighting against? Like, we did this whole thing where we set up this enemy in the guy, you know, with his dad. And then also, like, his dad's a little bit kind of an enemy, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And then also it's like, does he have an actual problem with the cops beyond being just like a crime guy?
That's a good point.
Yeah. Like, it was like, what exactly is Vijay angry about?
Because I wasn't sure what his moral stance was.
Yeah. I think that was like how I was feeling too. And it felt clearer in the beginning.
When
that's where he's like the angry young man. And then he's just a crime boss.
Right. It's interesting because, you know, in the beginning you see him do certain things because of, like, the common man being tread upon.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't stand by and watch this. And it's like, okay, great. But then you kind of become one of those guys.
Right.
And it would be fine if it were in service of, like, a greater plan to take down that establishment. But you're right. He's not really against that establishment. It's more just like, you've wronged me, and now I will hurt you specifically.
Yeah, and...
he's a little all over the place.
He is, and I think, and I totally agree with you. I think that he's, there's a little bit of, like, a directionlessness beyond that, like, rooting for the, like, fighting for the common man that we see in the beginning. And it would have been really interesting if we had carried that into Act Two in some way, whether it was that's continuing to be what he's fighting for, and the cops are somehow, like, you know, in the way of that, or if he's, you know, he's moved too far away. Because it's also, this made me think of Dilchatahe too, where I just like assumed that a lot of time was gonna pass.
Yes, yeah.
And it's like, I mean, what, like a few months?
Yeah, yeah.
Like reading the plot of this, I was thinking there was gonna be like a year's break in the middle.
Yeah, no.
For that tension to build up, but no, it's just like, oops.
It's been like 5 months.
And not to, because it's a, you know, it is a, it's a, it's a really brilliantly made movie. I thought it was, it was beautifully directed, beautifully shot, like great acting, great writing. But yeah, I think just a little bit unsatisfying in the story, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, and I was trying to think, I was like, you know, okay, what are we saying about Vijay's morality versus Ravi's morality? Because, you know, Ravi, we see him give up an opportunity, like, spoiler alert, we're going to talk about it, but he gives up an opportunity for a job that he really wanted and needed because someone else, he felt like they needed it more. And I'm like, okay, but how does that then carry through what he, how he moves through the world?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Vijay, who's like, I'm going to take these opportunities. But then it's like, well, you both had different experiences growing up. One of you was much more sheltered than the other. So I don't know.
Yeah.
It was fun. I
think that the issue, and we've talked about this with other movies before, is like they've presented so many really interesting things to talk about and then didn't really talk about enough of them. So it's like, don't give us so many great ideas things that you could have done that you then don't do. That's just, Salim Javed is, they're just too smart. Is the problem.
Yes.
And there was, I didn't fully read this, but there was an article I read for my research where Javed Akhtar was saying that it was very intentional to like not have it be a revenge plot. They didn't want it to be like as simple as that, but I don't know, I'm a simple woman. And
me too.
I think I kind of,
revenge plots make sense.
Yeah. And and I think especially when you start the movie the way this one starts, even if it's not him taking revenge against a specific person, like against a system. Is where it makes sense.
Or something
to
me. That represents that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll get into it.
We'll talk more, yeah.
Yeah. So as we mentioned, Diwar, written by Salim Javed. I was like, is it Javed Salim? My brain, I
sometimes
swear, works against
that
me.
Happens to me sometimes too, where my brain is just like intrusive thought.
Yeah. And it was directed by Yash Chopra. It stars our guy, Amitabh Bachchan, as Vijay, Shashi Kapoor as Ravi, Nirupa Roy as Sumitra Devi, their mother.
Mm-hmm.
I just call her mom.
Yeah.
So we're just calling her mom. And then we have Parveen Babi as Anita and Neetu Singh playing Veera.
I Googled because I was like, surely Shashi Kapoor is a Kapoor, like a capital K Kapoor.
I was assuming.
And he is. So his brother is Raj Kapoor, whose son is Rishi Kapoor.
Okay. Yes.
Rishi Kapoor married Neetu Singh. So in this movie, we are seeing a man playing opposite his future niece, niece-in-law.
Weird.
And she was super young. I think she was like 18. And so that's interesting.
That is interesting. Well, she was great.
She was great. Yeah, she was excellent.
Let's get into it.
Let's do it.
So we open on a ceremony where a police officer, Ravi, gets awarded with a medal for going above and beyond the call of duty.
Mm-hmm.
He gives a speech all about humanity. Honestly, I didn't really write it down, but it was nice, whatever. And he thanks his mother for getting him where he is. He says that she is his strength, and so he wants her to accept the medal on his behalf. So she comes up, and as everyone claps, she has a flashback. But really, the flashback's the whole movie. So.
Yeah. We get transported into the
past. What do they call that? Like
it's
a frame
narrative.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember high school English class. So we see mom standing with her two young sons at a protest rally where her husband, Anand, is standing up talking to the crowd about how the coal mine owners should give their laborers a living wage.
Woo. Imagine people being able to live off of having one job, no matter what that job is.
Or, you know, kind of makes me think of life today.
Well, literally, that's what I'm thinking of. It's like, wouldn't that be nice?
As Anand is talking, we see said coal mine owners gathered in a fancy house, and they start talking about the issue of Mr. Anand. One guy offers to basically take him out, but the head bad guy says you can't take out the leader of a movement like this because the followers will just find it inspiring. Mm-hmm. Instead, you have to find his weakness. Cut to the Anand household, where Mr. Anand is returning home from work to his wife and sons. And we see that the four of them are this happy little family. And we also learn that Mr. Anand is going to a demonstration outside the owner's home the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So the next day at the demonstration, the protesters send Anand in to speak with the mine owners on their behalf.
Wild, their, like, wild that he went in alone. Like,
yeah.
Who? No. No.
You should have, like, a bargaining team, bargaining committee. Yes.
Yeah. At the very least, to prevent what happens next from happening.
Exactly.
One person can be manipulated.
Yeah. The main owner says he already drew up the negotiation papers, and he gives them to Mr. Anand, who asks if this is a joke, because it's the same exact offer that he's already said no to. But then he sees a picture of his family tucked into, like, the back of this offer. And, oh no, we have a hostage situation.
Darn.
The owner says that they're safe for now, and if Anand signs the offer, his family will be returned to him safely tomorrow. Anand protests, and this moment, I love it so much. There's a lot of dramatic cutting from face to face, like, very quickly, while the intense music plays. And it's so intense that it's actually kind of funny to me. you know, it's like the modern sensibilities.
There's a decent amount of melodrama, although there are some really compelling ways that they're very subtle later in the movie. So that makes up for it.
Yes. But Anand finally agrees to sign the papers to save his family.
Mm-hmm.
And he walks back outside and all the laborers, like, cheer for him because they're like, woohoo, he showed them. Until he tells them that he signed the negotiation papers and agreed to all the owner's conditions, including that any future strike will be considered illegal.
Mm-hmm.
So the laborers beat Anand. Yeah.
So did the guys also say, like, you can't tell anyone about this? Like,
no,
that was...
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Maybe I just assumed that because he doesn't tell anyone about it.
Yeah, maybe they did, but I don't remember that happening.
Yeah. I wanted to say something about the villains in this movie because I wanted to pay attention to them, like, with, you know, coming off of watching Sholay and Gabbar Singh.
Yeah.
And so I was, like, noting down all this stuff about the villains and how different they were from, you know, like, they seem very real. They're, like, rich, greedy men, which just, those are everywhere.
Yeah.
And also, like, crazy mustaches and stuff that I really enjoyed. Yes. And then I started to realize, like, there really isn't a villain in this movie. Like, there are people who do villainous things that then motivate the main characters, but it's not about them. It's not a fight against them. So I just thought that was interesting. I just wanted to observe
that. Yeah, that is interesting. It's more a fight against a system.
Like, I feel like a more watered down version of this movie would be that, like, the brothers have to come together in the end to, like, fight against the same, like, crime boss who's just, like, like, blown out of proportion evil. But, like, no, that's not what we're doing here. That's not the point that we're making,
which
I appreciate that.
I like that too, because life doesn't usually have just, like, one big villain.
Yeah.
Well, we have one big villain. Well, but one big villain has a bunch of other villains.
But it's also, you know, it's like villainy begets villainy. So it's like, you know, you get one big villain in power and he puts all these other villains in power. And then
You have a dictatorship.
And then you just are desperate to move to Canada or anywhere.
Anyway, poor Anand gets beaten. His wife and children are returned home safely, though. And Mom nurses Anand back to health. She tells him that the people will get over their anger at him, but they don't. They keep calling him a thief. So one day, Mom goes out on an errand, and when she returns to the house, Anand is gone. And we see him sitting on a train bound for who knows where.
He's just sitting there with, like, bandages on his head.
Yeah, he just, like, upped and abandoned his family. I don't know Yeah, that's not the answer.
It's really not. I don't understand why this man made this decision. He could have left town with his family.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it just isn't.
Because they have to leave town anyway.
Exactly. Like, it's like he wanted them to be able to stay, and he's like, if I'm gone, they won't. But, like,
right. No.
No, you're stupid. They don't like them either.
You're not helping anyone. Yeah.
Also, if you just told people what happened, they'd be maybe a little more sympathetic.
Yes.
It's also not the same as this, but it's not dissimilar from the movie Jersey, where he decides to die so he can get his son a jersey. Like, you could have made a different choice. Sometimes families just want to be with their family.
Yeah, I totally forgot how much we talked about that. That was so wild. Yeah. I'd be really angry. And one of my loved ones was like, no, let me, like, I don't know, be a martyr. And I'd be like, no.
I don't want
I'd
that.
Rather have you here.
Yeah, no, just come home to me at night. Like, that'd be great.
Yeah. So anyway, one of Anand's sons, Vijay, is walking through the village when a bunch of the village men start yelling at him for being a thief's son. And they beat him up and then tattoo, "My father is a thief," on his arm.
Mm-hmm.
So Vijay returns home, and his mother is beside herself, and she says everyone here is their enemy, so they'll leave. She brings her boys to Mumbai and promises to take care of them. And she ends up working at a construction site, and they spend their night sleeping under a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
One morning, Ravi goes missing, and Vijay says that he'll go look for him, and they find Ravi watching some school kids singing. And now Mom starts crying because she can't afford to educate her sons. But then Vijay says that he can also work so that together they can afford to educate Ravi.
Sad young boy turns into angry young man, just like you said.
Yeah, and Vijay gets a job shining shoes. Like, that is one element of this, though. I feel like you really feel for Vijay because everything he does is in service of helping his family be secure and succeed. I feel like Ravi never really acknowledges that.
Yes.
Motivation of Vijay. Like, he never does any self-reflection to be like, wow, my brother sacrificed a lot to put me through school.
Yeah.
He's just kind of like, why aren't you as upstanding as I am?
Yeah. That's a fair point. Because I think we are definitely made to be on Vijay's side in a lot of this and understand why he's doing that. And it would have been nice to see that acknowledged by his family.
Yeah, I think it would have made Ravi's character even more interesting, actually.
Yeah.
Because it's like, nuanced. Multiple things can be true. You can be like, I see how you ended up here, and I'm disappointed in you. Because Ravi kind of represents this, like, optimism, you know, no matter what. He's like, things are going to work out. So I feel like he could have been like, well, you don't know, we would have figured it out, but you don't know that. So that would have been an interesting clashing.
And it's also, like, you can see why somebody did something and still realize that it's wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how the audience feels as they're watching Vijay. It's like, I don't think I would make this choice. I wouldn't become a crime lord, but I can see why he became a crime lord. Yeah.
yeah. So anyway, young Vijay gets a job shining shoes. So a businessman gets Vijay to shine his shoes, then he tosses his money on the ground. And Vijay stands and says that he is not a beggar, so the man should pick the money up and put it in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
The businessman's friend tells him to do that, so he does. And then the friend says that Vijay will go places with that attitude. Meanwhile, Ravi's teacher is saying that he will go places due to his good grades.
Yeah. There's a lot of ways to go places.
Mm-hmm. And not go places.
That too.
Yeah. But then Mom is working at the construction site when she collapses and breaks the bricks that she is carrying. Her boss fires her and literally tosses her on the ground just as Vijay arrives.
Mm-hmm.
Vijay throws a brick at his head, which could kill him.
It does for sure.
Yeah. Then runs away. And that night, Mom tells Vijay that he and Ravi are different. Vijay says that, yes, they are, and the biggest difference is the tattoo on his arm.
Mm-hmm.
So we see Mom bring the boys to the temple. It's a temple for Shiva. But Vijay refuses to go in. And mom's like trying to convince him, but a priest comes by and says like, hey, don't force him. One day he will choose to pray.
That's a great outlook to have about religion. It's like, don't force people to religion. If they find it on their own, that's going to mean a lot more.
Yeah. And be more meaningful to them. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
In the temple, there's a time jump. And we now see a grown-up Ravi in the temple with mom. And the grown Vijay is still sitting outside the temple with his long legs. It's like really, also, it's just like the clothes of the 70s just it's really so, call attention well, to his legs.
It's the same, because like the 70s came back in the 90s, which is also why, or in the 2000s, which is why Hrithik's legs are also like so long all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. Ravi goes off to try to find a job, and Vijay goes to work as a coolie at the shipyard. One of his coworkers tells him that his badge number is auspicious, so he should always keep it with him. I thought that was also an interesting touch, too, this badge, that I don't know if that is supposed to be symbolism of, like, the small kernel of hope that Vijay has for, like, a good life.
Yeah, well, this just made me think of, it's like the coin toss thing, too. It's like this, this little kind of element that adds something to this character's personality that then has this payoff later on. And it does it does make Vijay feel more human that he has this, like, good luck charm, even though it's a little fantastical that it, like, saves his life and everything. But it's also, like, I really like the relatability that it creates.
It shows a sweeter side to him, too.
Yeah.
Like, he wants to believe in it. But so we also learn that the coolies are having to pay off some bad guys for seemingly no reason. It's never explained. No. They don't know. They just kind of accept that it has to happen. So a new coolie refuses to pay the goons, and then he ends up losing all of his money and gets run over by a truck.
Yeah, that's not great. It's a bad day.
No, it's bad. Yeah. And Vijay watches all this happen and then says that next week another coolie will refuse to pay. Meanwhile, we see Ravi going to interviews, but he can't get a job because he doesn't have connections. And he then meets up with his girlfriend, Vera, and there's this whole love song where she sings about how much she loves him, even though he's unemployed.
Unemployed people deserve love, too.
That is so true. And the next week at the shipyard, Vijay refuses to pay his money. He then punches out the goon who was sent to collect the money. And in retaliation, the head bad guy of this group of goons, because again, there's multiple different head bad guys.
There are, yeah.
He sends a bunch of his goons after Vijay. But Vijay throws them for a loop and actually just goes to the bad guy warehouse to meet with
the bad guy warehouse.
Yeah. I was like, Vijay's pulling all the power moves. Like, he's just, he's like whipping it out.
Yeah, he's not scared. He is like, no, I'll come to you. I don't care.
Yeah. So Vijay locks the door to the warehouse behind him and tosses the key to the head bad guy, saying, I'll take this key back from you after I've beaten you all. Which is like, whoa. Then Vijay launches himself at the goons, doing a lot of jumping and kicking with his long legs.
This fight scene was awesome.
It was really like, awesome. It was a lot of choreography.
Yeah, and a lot of, I mean, you know, people know this. These are, like, the first couple of, like, early Amitabh movies we've watched. Yeah. So to see him as, I mean, he's 33 in this. He's my age. And to see him just, like, chucking his body around, like, with gay abandon is amazing. Like, I was just, like, I was so impressed.
It was very fun.
And also, and I just feel like this, I need to say this, like, he looks incredible. Like,
he does.
Especially in these, like, you know, we all know, like, I love an unkempt man, and, like, especially in the, you know, when he's got the scruff, his chest hair is hanging out, I'm just like,
yeah,
I will watch all of this all day long.
Yes. No, I agree. I was like, he definitely has star power.
He does. Yeah.
So yeah, there's a big fight and Vijay wins. He unlocks the door and lets himself out of the warehouse to the cheers of all the coolies.
Yay!
Back at home, Mom yells at Vijay for putting himself in danger. She asks why he couldn't have just run away from the bad guys looking for him, and he snarkily responds, like my father. Mom says their father did what he did so his family could stay alive. Okay.
Well, I just don't think so. I think he could have, you could have left town together. No one here in Mumbai knows what happened. Like,
nope. Next, as I mentioned before, we see Ravi finally get a job, but he ends up giving it to someone else who he sees as being more in need.
Yeah.
And then we see Anand just riding a train. Not sure he ever got off the train.
I really thought that this was going to come back and, and it does come back, but just like, I don't know. It's just so stupid that this is now what he's doing with his life. Like, just what a waste.
Because he was like really smart and brilliant and a leader of men and an honorable person. And now, dude.
It just feels like there were options.
and when some other guys on the train ask him where he's going, he just says, nowhere.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Whatever, dude. You're so deep.
Next, as Vijay is walking to work, a rich guy in a car pulls up and asks if he's the one who beat up all the bad guys. Mm-hmm. It turns out that the bad guy leader, like actual leader, Samant, is his enemy as well. Mm-hmm. So he invites Vijay to like take a ride with him. This rich guy, who's named Devar, explains to Vijay that Samant steals from other smugglers, and Devar is one of those smugglers. Devar then says that he needs a man to protect the gold that he is smuggling from Samant and from the police until it can reach the warehouse. He promises to fulfill all of Vijay's needs. Wink.
I did. I was like, the way you put that is woo.
I did. I was like, that's what it said in the like the subtitles.
Whatever you need.
Vijay sees a way to help improve his family's station, and he accepts the job offer. He then reveals that he knows who Devar is. He's the guy who got his shoes shined, who said that Vijay would go places. Mm-hmm. What? Back with Ravi, he's having tea with Vera at her house when her father gets home, and he asks Ravi why he hasn't thought about joining the police force. And that's all Ravi needs to decide to submit his application to the
I thought about joining the police force?
Yeah. I love it. Great. So that's happening. Meanwhile, Vijay is getting a debrief on his first mission, but he doesn't like the plan that Devar lays out, so he says, I've been hired for this particular job. I get to decide how to do it. Mm-hmm. He says that he can do the job alone, and Devar's like, all right, I'll let you try. Fast forward to Vijay getting on an elevator at a hotel with Samant. Vijay asks Samant how much he would pay him for information about the gold shipment coming in. Samant says he'll give him 500,000 rupees after he has the gold. I did like this. This was a fun narrative bit.
Yeah.
But so Vijay passes along the time and place of the gold delivery, and Samant keeps Vijay in his custody until the shipment happens, and then Samant's guys successfully pick up the gold. So back in his office, Samant gives Vijay his money, and Vijay leaves. But then he goes to Samant's warehouse as his goons are getting ready to unload the gold. And before they can, Vijay holds them at gunpoint and steals the van holding all the gold so that he can bring it to Devar.
Uh-huh.
Love it. There's another dance number as Devar celebrates their success. And after, Samant calls Vijay and tells him his plan was superb, but he will put an end to the game that Vijay has started. They hang up, and Vijay doesn't seem too bothered by this.
No.
And Devar then gives him a massive pile of money.
Yeah.
Cool. Next, we see Vijay show his mom a house he's buying. And she's like, where'd you get this money?
Yeah.
Are you doing something illegal? But he says that he's not. He is. That's a straight up lie.
Yeah, and she, I get it though. Like, she just buys it right out the gate. It's like,
yeah.
There's no follow up question of like, okay, so how did you get the money? If it was legal, what'd you do?
Yeah. At that moment, Ravi runs in and announces that he's been accepted into the police academy.
Yeah.
Yay.
Great news for everyone.
Yeah, so they all go to the train station and Ravi leaves for his training. Vijay then meets with Devar and hatches a plan to get one of their guys on the inside of Samant's gang. So they send this guy to Samant, who acts like he's deflecting, and he gives them information that Vijay is going to be leaving a bar at a specific time. Mm-hmm. At this bar, Vijay gets chatted up by a pretty lady, but he leaves right at 10:30 as planned. But oh no, he forgot his lucky badge on the bar.
Yeah.
Which is wild to me because this thing's massive. And I'm like, why were you taking that out and just like looking at it?
It's literally big enough to stop a bullet.
Yeah.
I also think I would like to address the outfit that Vijay is wearing here, because this is where he is wearing the matching vest and humongous bow tie. And they match each other. It's like the same like polka dot material. And I really want to know. I'm like, was this like cool and intimidating in the 70s? Like,
that's a great question.
Like, was this as sort of comedic as I feel like it is now?
Probably not.
I'm so intrigued. I want to know the motivation behind putting him in that outfit, because it was slightly ridiculous.
And honestly, I feel like he made it look as cool as anyone could make it look.
I agree. I still was like, Vijay looks great. And also, he looks a little silly. He's looked better.
As Vijay walks to his car, Samant's guys train a sniper rifle on him. They're just going to shoot him. Like, oh, okay. At that moment, the woman from the bar runs up to give Vijay back his lucky badge. It drops when she tries to hand it to him. And as they both bend down to get it, Samant's men fire. Mm-hmm. So they dodge that bullet. Literally. And Vijay and the woman hurriedly get in the car and drive away. And in the car, they exchange names, and we learn that this is Anita. Vijay makes it back to Devar, and he basically makes Vijay his partner on the spot.
Yeah.
So then we learn that it's been 3 months. Woo! Mm-hmm. And Ravi is done with his police training. So he's actually being stationed in Mumbai, so he'll be returning home soon. But Vera can't wait, so she comes to see him at the police academy, literally on the day he's coming home. And they have another love story.
Yeah.
I mean, another love song.
Yeah.
I like that they were like, okay, Amitabh's character is going to have no songs, so we just need to have Ravi have all the, like, romance songs.
Yeah. I wrote down that they're in two different movies at this point.
Yes.
Like, there's two different movies happening simultaneously at this point.
Exactly. So Ravi arrives home to his mother in his uniform, and he asks where Vijay is, and mom tells him that ever since Vijay started his business, he's hardly ever home, and he's not sleeping well. Mm. But then Vijay shows up, and he's super happy to see Ravi, except that Ravi immediately starts questioning how Vijay was able to afford such an expensive house so quickly. And Vijay looks a little troubled by like, uh-oh, this is maybe not going to go great.
Yeah.
Then we see Ravi checking in with his superior officer to learn more about his assignment in Mumbai. The superior officer tells him about Devar and his partner, Vijay. Gasp!
Oops.
Ravi is not all right. He explains that Vijay is his brother, and if he is on this case, he might not be able to fulfill his duty. But the superior officer says he still wants Ravi on this case because Ravi's brilliant and it's a good way to test him as a police officer.
It's like such a huge conflict of interest. Right. And just the idea that this officer is like, I'd rather torture you psychologically.
This seems good.
But I do love, like, this was what I was referencing before, like with the melodrama, like, this, again, like, so easily could have been played for melodrama. Like, there could have been the, like, you know, the fast cuts and the, like, close-up on his face and the... But it's so subtle. And, like, Shashi Kapoor's, like, interpretation of it, like, he's just... It's like he's so quiet and he's just, like, crying and sad. And it was very real and raw. And mm-hmm. I was really impressed by this scene.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's... Like, I like the combination of this writing team with Yash Chopra.
Yes. Yeah. I think
Yash is all about that emotion on screen. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Salim Javed can create the emotion in a way that Yash Chopra can make feel very authentic in the way he sort of constructs the story. Like,
Yeah. It's a good combo. Mm-hmm. But so, Ravi says he'll think about taking the case after all. And On his first day on the job, he ends up chasing after this, like, teenage thief and shooting him in the leg.
Yeah.
Only to realize that the boy had just stolen some bread.
This is why you don't just shoot people.
Yeah, he's like, stop or I'll shoot you. And I'm like, oh my god, that guy doesn't even have a gun. Like, why would you shoot him?
He's also clearly, like, a child. Like,
yes. Yeah, so Ravi's sad about how all of this went down. So he brings food to the family of the thief that he shot. And the father is like, you know, I'm sorry. He's really not that kind of boy. So he must have been starving for him to steal. And then this makes Ravi be like, oh, you've taught me a lesson today. I'll go back to my superior and take the case. I was a little bit fuzzy as to, like, why that changed his motivation.
Yeah, I agree. The dots didn't totally line up for me either. Because it's like, in this case, like, the boy's crime feels justified. And it's like,
yeah,
why would that then make you want to take down your brother, who's also kind of justified in what he's doing?
Yeah, and I don't know if it was the element of, like, you know, they're talking to the father and he's like, I'm a school teacher and I just retired last year. And maybe it was from the sense of, like, wow, this person who had a meaningful job can't afford to feed his family. So crime is bad. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like
they could have... there's, like, a tinge of the anti-establishment there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they also could have had it be, like, an anti-crime thing, you know? Like, because it's also, it's never really clearly established, like, what are the crimes? I mean, they're smuggling, I guess. But it's, I don't know, like, the actual crimes that the crime lords are doing, it doesn't really, it's not really a part of this. And so, I don't know, it's like, maybe they could have, the smuggling could have been why this family is poor, and that, like, impacts Ravi.
Yeah, that would,
like,
make a lot more sense.
Yeah.
They didn't connect those dots, you're right.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. We then see Vijay buy the building that his mother used to work on the construction site of, so that he can give it to her as a gift. He gets home to tell her, but he walks in on Ravi and Mom staring at him very seriously.
Uh-huh.
And Ravi says that he wants to talk to him, and he explains that he received a list of people suspected of smuggling, and Vijay's name was on that list. So Ravi gives him a paper to sign, which states that Vijay will share all the information he has on smuggling associates and businesses. Vijay reminds Ravi of when they were starving and living on the streets with their mother, but Ravi is, like, not affected by that. He asks Vijay if he will sign, and Vijay says that he will, but he will not be the first. If Ravi gets the signature of the man who tricked their father, the original criminal, Vijay will sign it. And I do feel like this is Vijay kind of crying for help, being like, I am a victim of, like, what was done to me.
Yeah.
Can you see that? And Ravi's just like, oh, no.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, so the brothers unfortunately have a huge, massive falling out. And Ravi says that he's leaving, and Mom says that she's going with him.
Mm-hmm.
When Vijay says that everything he's done is for her, she tells him not to try buying his mother. He's not rich enough. I was like, that's a good burn. I mean, that's awful. But
that burn will put you straight in therapy. Just
Yeah. So then Mom and Ravi leave, and Vijay rips up the deed to the building that he bought. He goes to Anita for comfort, and they talk about their shattered dreams, because we also learned that Anita's mother always wanted her to get married.
Yeah.
Cut to Mom staring forlornly out Ravi's window.
Mm-hmm.
And Ravi says he can't bear to see her sad, and he would not blame her if she returned to Vijay. But she says that she'll stay with him. She then reveals that she's always loved Vijay more than Ravi. And I was like, no one asked. Why did you bring that up? She's like, remember how as a child you asked me who I loved more?
Well, now I would like to tell you, it is in fact not you.
Yeah, I was like, this is wild. What?
Such a choice. Well, and it's like, you know, I think parents love their kids in different ways, you know? And I also think there's a lot of, there's the element of the child who has more stuff going on.
Yeah.
Who often, like, appears to be the favorite because so much attention is given to the stuff that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. I found, especially early on when they're at the temple and Ravi is having to kind of like, you know, like just eat the sweet. Like to you, it's just a sweet. To mom, it actually means something. Just do it. I was like, Ravi's the peacekeeper. He's a number 9 Enneagram. He's, you know, like that's where he and I was like, I relate very, very closely to that. And there was just, and then just this moment of mom being like, yes, Vijay's my favorite was so like, Ravi, he's done so much. Like,
I know.
He's, yeah.
Oh my gosh. And like, I'm sure he went to school to try to make her proud and was like trying to find a job to make her proud. Yeah, it's, it didn't need to happen. She didn't need to say that.
No, poor Ravi.
But one night, Ravi is trying to stake out a smuggling drop, and he learns that there's going to be one that night, but the phone doesn't work, so he has to send someone, like, running to get police backup. Meanwhile, he just decides to take on the smugglers alone. Mm-hmm. So he walks into this warehouse where they're moving goods, and he tells them that police have surrounded the warehouse, so it would be in their best interest to surrender. And he bluffs like a champ.
Mm-hmm.
And the smugglers agree to surrender, like, he didn't have a gun. They had guns, and there were, like, 10 of them.
The implication is he forgot his gun.
Like... Yeah. Yeah, that's so true.
He's maybe not the best cop, but he does bluff very well, like you said.
Yeah, yeah. But so this is a success for Ravi. Like, great. Woo. But Devar is annoyed by this because Ravi has conducted 5 raids on his warehouses in the past 2 months. Devar's right-hand guy says that they should get rid of Ravi by shooting him. And Vijay is in on this conversation, and he's obviously not into this idea.
Yeah.
And he ultimately gets pressured into revealing that Ravi is his brother. So, whoops. Vijay calls Ravi to meet with him at the bridge that they used to sleep under, and he asks Ravi who is standing in front of him, a brother or a police officer. Ravi says that when a brother speaks, he will be a brother. But when a criminal speaks, he'll be a police officer.
Mm.
I really liked that dialogue. Like, that was good dialogue. Vijay asks Ravi to get transferred somewhere else, but Ravi refuses, saying that his principles will not allow it. Vijay gets angry and asks what Ravi's principles have ever done for him. You can't survive off of principles. And then Ravi just says, mother. And I was like, oh, man. Shots fired. It's like, mom likes my principles.
And this is the famous line, the mere pas mahe. Oh.
It's good. It's good. So then we go back to Anon, sitting on the train, but it turns out he's dead.
Oops.
It's a series wrap on Anon. Ravi's office gets notified about the anonymous corpse, and Ravi learns that the dead man had a photo in his pocket of Ravi's family.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Awkward. It was your dad. Yeah. So Ravi tells his mother, and
I was just thinking, like, how weird his coworkers must think his family is. It's like, your brother's a crime lord, your dad just died, like, alone on the train. Like, are you okay, Ravi? Like, do you need help?
I don't think he is. Yeah.
I know.
They all need help.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Ravi tells his mother, and they have a funeral for Anand. Vijay arrives late, but he lights the pyre. And then he tries to comfort mom, but she turns away from him to Ravi.
Mm-hmm.
And that night at Anita's apartment, Anita tells Vijay to get his tattoo removed by a plastic surgeon. But he says that it's written on his heart and his mind, and no plastic surgeon can remove it.
Yeah, so, goes deeper mm-hmm. than flesh. I don't know, I was really hoping that we could see, especially mom, like, rage against dad.
Yeah, like the choices that he made.
Yeah, and she's so, like, supportive and okay about it. And I'm like, look at what he's put you through. And now he's just, like, dead.
Dead. Yeah. While Vijay is sad, Ravi's back on the case.
Mm-hmm.
He's recording Devar's phone calls, so he hears that a goods exchange is going to happen soon. And he takes off to make it in time. He does, and he's able to arrest Devar's associate, who gives testimony. So then Ravi's able to get an arrest warrant for Devar and Vijay. He successfully arrests Devar, but Vijay is now on the run, and the police can't find him anywhere. Meanwhile, Samant meets with his goons and tells them that they have to catch Vijay before the police do so that he can fulfill his promise to end the game that Vijay started. As if that's not enough, one of Vijay's guys comes to where he is hiding out to inform him that mom is sick and in the hospital.
Yeah,
what? Vijay says that he will go to her, even though there are cops all over the hospital. So Anita scopes it out and says that his mother's condition is serious, but there's no way he'll be able to see her because of how many police are in the area. Mm-hmm. Vijay decides that there's only one way out, and that is to pray. So he goes to the temple and speaks to Shiva, asking if his mother is paying for his sins. Mm-hmm. And he asks Shiva to help his mother, and in return, Shiva can do whatever he wants with Vijay. This is my favorite scene of the whole movie.
Oh, it's incredible. That's mm-hmm. Yeah, this monologue is very, very impactful.
It's so good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And miraculously, mom gets better.
Yay. Thanks, Shiva.
Yeah. As Ravi and mom leave the hospital, mom says that she wants to visit the temple before they go home. The priest at the temple tells mom that Vijay came to the temple while she was ill, and that makes her super happy.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Anita tells Vijay that his mother's recovered. Again, yay.
Yay.
And she's also like, by the way, I'm also pregnant.
She's not quite that excited.
No, but she's like, I'm expecting. Yes.
Yeah.
She says she doesn't expect him to marry her, but she will raise this baby to make sure it has a better life than they do. Yeah. Vijay says that he will repent for his crimes and turn himself into the police because that's the only way their son, I like how they just assume it must be a boy, can have a better life and not end up like Vijay did. But first, they should get married.
Yay!
So Anita runs to get her wedding dress and Vijay calls his mom. And he tells her he's going to the temple and needs her blessings. And she says she'll meet him there.
I, at this point in the movie, was so scared about, like, how many of these people are going to die.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know. It was a lot. It was a lot of them.
It was,
like,
50%. It was still a good number. Yeah. Also, because I didn't write down where exactly this happens, but I think it's maybe when, like, when Vijay is picking up Anita and, like, to go scope out the situation with his mom, there's a really mm-hmm. cool shot where he's got the, like, curtain open in his car and you mm-hmm. see Anita through the window and then he closes it and then she, like, shows up, like, at the car door. It was just a really cool shot.
Cool.
It
yeah.
was very well crafted and I was impressed.
Love that. So, yeah, so Anita has just finished getting ready when the doorbell rings. And she opens it, and oh no, it's Samant!
Yeah.
And he asks where Vijay is, but she says she doesn't know. And Samant says, you'll have a gruesome death. Which is a weird thing to tell someone, even if you are about to kill them.
I guess you just want to give him a heads up.
That's awful. So Vijay goes looking for Anita, only to find her very, very slowly dying on the floor. And once again, we have one of those moments where it's like, y'all are talking for, like, 5 minutes, and I feel like in that time, you probably could have gotten help.
Yeah, there probably was time to do something, but mm-hmm. other than just listen to her monologue at you.
Yeah, but, you know, it's okay. So she tells him that all their dreams are shattered, but she didn't tell, quote-unquote, them anything. And then after a lot more back and forth where he's like, no, talk to me, and she's like, I didn't tell them. And he's like, no, don't die. And she's like, I am. It's okay. I'm sorry. It is, like, truly, it is a tragic moment. And it made me really sad. But also,
we're laughing at the character's choices. Yes. Not at the yes. storytelling, the acting yes. or anything. Yeah.
And then she dies in his arms.
That's very sad.
Yeah. So Vijay realizes it was Samant who killed Anita, so he goes to confront him. And then Ravi gets a call about Vijay's whereabouts, and he says that they should surround Samant's hotel with police to try to catch Vijay. Before Ravi leaves, he asks his mother for her blessing, which she gives to his gun. Back to Vijay. He breaks into Samant's room, where Samant's romancing a lady, and he just starts beating him up. And then he throws him out the window of the top floor of this tall hotel, So Samant is definitely dead now.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure dead. As Vijay goes to leave, the police arrive, and Ravi tells his officers to surround the building, then announces that Vijay should surrender himself. Vijay clutches his lucky badge and makes a run for it, and Ravi gives chase. But as Vijay is running, he drops his lucky badge, and he can't reach it.
No, I was like, use your leg.
You got a long leg.
Stick your leg in there and scoop.
But he can't. He has to leave it behind.
Yeah.
And just like the little boy thief, Ravi tells Vijay to stop or he'll shoot. But Vijay does not stop. So Ravi shoots his brother, again, who does not have a gun, is not a violent threat that we could tell, with his mother-blessed gun. And it hits Vijay in the arm.
Right, okay. Because I was sure I must have missed something.
It definitely hits the arm.
Does he get shot another time?
Like, I don't think so.
It's just, okay, all right, well, this is a fatal arm wound.
I mean, I do think that we do have some sort of major artery running close to our armpit. So, like, maybe, you know, I think it is possible to bleed out from a gunshot wound to the arm if it hits the right stuff.
But not necessarily the best plot device.
No. Why didn't they just have him get shot in the gut? You know, that would make a lot more sense.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, Vijay takes off again. He steals a car. Ravi jumps on top of the car. They drive like that for a little bit before Ravi falls off. And then Vijay crashes at the stairs of the temple. Mm-hmm. So he staggers into the temple where his mother is waiting. And he collapses in her arms. And when she asks him what happened, he says that he is tired of fighting. And he says that he hopes she's not angry with him. And she assures him that she's not. He asks for her blessing, and she starts to give it, but then he dies.
Yeah, and bummer.
And Ravi arrives at the temple. He sees this happen, and they make eye contact, and it's a lot like, ooh. And now we're back at the start, where Ravi's getting his award, and everyone's clapping, and that's the end.
Yeah.
I really thought we would sit with more of that. I don't know.
Yeah, it does end very suddenly. I also just, I don't know, I feel like this being where it ends, like, it's not that I feel like every movie like, it's okay that he dies at the end. Like, I'm not saying that I needed for him to live at the end, but his death felt kind of meaningless.
Yeah, the brothers didn't even have a moment of reconciliation. They didn't have a final conversation or, like, any sort of reckoning. Yeah.
It sort of ends up just being like, yep, and Vijay was wrong the whole time. He did crimes, and he paid for his crimes with his death that he also used to, like, save his mom. So he got, you know, I don't know, it's just, like, I just don't find that as interesting as, like, seeing real, like, character growth from the other kid. Like, if Ravi had, like, come around and someone else had killed Vijay, that would have been, like, much more interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think I can't quite pinpoint what it is that didn't sit right with me about kind of the second half of the film, but just things didn't quite line up for me.
Well, and I also just, like, want more from their mother.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
She kind of just goes along with whatever's happening. And, like, especially in that final scene, I'm like, does she resent Ravi for killing, you know, her favorite son?
Yeah.
We don't
really
know.
That would be really interesting. Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, I feel like my major points have been raised. Like, because I don't really think there's an answer. I think it's just some general observations. But do you have any other main things?
I have a thought that I wanted to share that's not as specific to Diwar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, on the theme of the conversations we've been having about, like, what movies looked like in the past and what they look like now and how that's different and how they're worse now and, you know, painting with a broad brush. So I rewatched Kalki 2898 AD last weekend.
Good choice.
And it's so good. It's I know it's not perfect, but like it's a solid movie. It's entertaining. And I was thinking about the fact that like a big part of the criticism of it was that it wasn't quote unquote original. That there were all of these elements that were taken from other movies, and in particular like Western sci-fi movies.
Yeah.
And this comes up in the Angry Young Men documentary, and it came up in my research too. Dewar is not an original film concept. Like, Salim Javed talk openly about being inspired by another movie when they wrote this movie. And this other movie has a very similar plot. And I think we just notice this kind of thing more because the world is so much more connected now. Like, in a different time, you could borrow something from another industry and pass it off as original.
Right. Or, people, you know, maybe.
Yeah, or like maybe like not fully like express like how derivative it is of this other concept. But now you can just like watch the movie. Like you can just watch all the movies, you know?
Right. No, that's a good point.
And so I just think we have to be careful like criticizing movies for being derivative or unoriginal because like everyone borrows stuff. Like Shakespeare borrowed stuff like blatantly. And you know, so there's like really what new and original ideas are there out there in the world? And I think, again, it's just because we're so much more connected and we've seen so much more and we can watch so much more from other industries. It just feels like everybody's copying everybody, but it's kind of like they always have been.
No, I think you're right. Like, it's important to call attention to the fact that it's like it's just more visible now. I don't really necessarily think it's happening, more frequently.
Right. And the rhetoric around it gets amplified more. Like, I think just generally any criticism of anything just ends up being amplified more than people who are just like, it was good. I really enjoyed it. Like, that's not interesting. What's interesting is the guy who's like, this movie was terrible because it copied X, Y, and Z. So that was just another thought I had to fit into our, like, overarching industry development conversations that we've been having.
Which are ongoing. Yeah, I appreciate that. They are,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So, what did you research?
Research, yes. So, it's a little random. This was one of those weeks where I kind of, like, started in one place, and then just one article led me to another random thought, which led me to another random Google, and here we are. But so I started off by Googling 50 years of Dewar, just, you know, because it's the 50-year anniversary this year, just the same way it was for Cholet. It was earlier, I think in January or March or somewhere in there. But so I found an article by Subhash K. Jha called 7 Unknown Facts About Dewar. I'm not going to list all seven, but here were some of the ones that I thought were interesting. As I just mentioned, and as they talked about in Angry Young Men, Salim Javed were heavily inspired by the film Ganga Jumna, but Javed says that they contemporized, I don't think that's a word, but it is the quote that they contemporized the film and urbanized the film so much that he says he doesn't see much of Ganga Jumna in Dewar. So it's a good, like, it's an adaptation of another story that they spun enough to make it new and interesting.
Yeah.
The film was also originally songless, but they added the two duets at the insistence of the film's distributors, who thought that the movie needed to have music.
Yeah, I didn't think they were out of place, but they weren't needed. You know,
I agree. They didn't add anything. They also didn't really take anything away.
Exactly.
Because Vijay didn't sing at all in the film, actor Dev Anand, who was approached to play Vijay, turned down the role, apparently feeling that fans would feel cheated by the lack of singing and dancing by the hero.
Interesting.
He also apparently was offered and turned down Amitabh's role in Zanjeer. But he later said he has no regrets about this, so...
Well, you kind of have to say that, but is it true?
How did you feel in the moment, Devanand?
Yeah.
But so then, Dewar won Best Picture at the 1975 Filmfare Awards. Shashi Kapoor won Best Supporting Actor. Salim Javed won Best Screenplay. Amitabh lost out on Best Actor to Sanjeev Kumar for the film Andi. So, bummer.
Bummer, man.
But so then I read an article by Pratyush Parasuraman that kind of elaborates on certain themes in the movie. It's like a celebration of 50 years, and it kind of, it like talks about a lot about the movie, about the filmmaking choice, and also kind of about the angry young man trope in general.
Mm-hmm.
The article references an interview with Javed Akhtar where he says the, quote, wall in question, because Diwar means wall, is as much Vijay's inability to communicate his emotions and love to the women in his life as anything else.
Mm.
So that's interesting. I think on the surface you'd think the wall is like between the brothers, but it's also right. There's a wall just his inside Vijay.
Personal wall.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a very like... but kind of introspective. Like, he's a very internally focused person.
And also very much the masculine trope of the main emotion we see him express is anger.
Yeah. Like, anything else is a weakness. Yeah.
Exactly. But he grows, and he shows emotion and love. So that's nice.
Yeah.
I also learned in this article that producer Gulshan Ray wanted to cast actor Rajesh Khanna as Vijay, but Yash Chopra was adamant about casting Amitabh, even though Amitabh was less of a household name at the time and on a downward trajectory in his career.
Mm.
Now, another article I read said that it was actually Yash Chopra who wanted Rajesh Khanna, and then the Seven Facts, the Seven Facts article said that it was Salim Javed who were fighting for Amitabh, and that their reasoning was that Rajesh Khanna was like, he was like the biggest superstar of the time, and they didn't think he would be as easy to work with as Amitabh and wouldn't be as like malleable, which I think that was certainly part of, they talk about that being part of their reasoning for casting him in Zanjeer, which was a couple years before this. But whatever the reason, and whoever was opposed and then got argued into casting Amitabh, it was the correct choice.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know enough about Rajesh Khanna to say he couldn't do the role, but certainly Amitabh did an amazing job.
He did a fantastic job. And I love that this then like made his career. That's incredible.
The article also talked about the reference to the number 786, which is considered lucky in Islam. The phrase Bismillah al-Rahman al-Rahim, which means in the name of God, the most gracious, the most merciful, in Arabic adds up to 786 using the Abjad numerical system.
Okay.
So that's why it's lucky.
Yeah.
This number has been used as a plot point in many other films, including the 1983 Bachchan film Cooley, where similarly it's his character's badge number.
Mm.
Now here's the first thing that shot me off in a different direction.
Oh, I'm excited.
During the shooting of the film Cooley, Amitabh was in an accident that rendered him clinically dead for a few minutes. Yeah. So obviously I needed to know more. So an article from the Economic Times describes this accident. Amitabh mistimed a jump during a fight sequence. He hit the sharp edge of a table. I have to assume they mean he like fell on the sharp edge of a table. He suffered an intestinal rupture and had severe internal bleeding. And yeah, at one point his heartbeat like literally stopped and he was declared clinically dead, but doctors were able to revive him.
Wow.
Yeah. That's how close he came to death. He literally did die.
He did die, yeah.
Ooh. But he underwent multiple surgeries and he had a grueling recovery during which he lost 75% of his physical strength and had to relearn how to walk. So this was
a
devastating injury.
Yeah.
When news of his hospitalization broke, people were angry and blamed the mishap on his co-star Puneet Issar. But Amitabh called Issar to his hospital room and assured him he placed no blame on the actor. It was an accident, and being in action films means taking risks.
He's a good guy.
He then walked Issar to the hospital gate while still very much recovering from his injuries, so the press would see them together and know that there was no bad blood.
Aww.
So then here's my next swing into a different direction. Following this accident, Amitabh decides to take a break from acting.
Hmm.
And this is 1984, a tumultuous time in Indian history. He gets into politics.
Wow.
Yes. So okay. his family was close with the Nehru Gandhi family. His mm-hmm. dad was friends with Jawaharlal Nehru. His mom was close friends with Indira Gandhi. And he was close friends with Rajiv Gandhi.
Mm-hmm.
Rajiv Gandhi takes office in 1984 after his mother Indira Gandhi is assassinated. I'm like fast forwarding through some
there's some big stuff going on there.
Yeah. But just to get back to Amitabh, as a show of support for his good friend, Amitabh ran for a seat in the Lok Sabha, which is the House of the People, the lower house in Indian Parliament, essentially the like House of Representatives. He won 68.2% of the vote, which is still considered one of the highest margins of victory in Indian election history. So he swept almost 70% of the vote to get this seat.
I mean, movie stars, man.
Yeah, it's gonna happen. Movie stars who the last thing you knew, they just almost died.
Yeah.
But then he resigned his seat in 1987 after he and his brother were linked to the Bofors scandal, wherein Rajiv Gandhi and other members of the Indian National Congress Party, which Amitabh belonged to at the time, were accused of getting kickbacks from an arms dealer in Sweden.
Okay. So, I mean, there's a lot worse places to get, like, you know, linked to an arms dealer than in Sweden, I would think.
People were pretty upset about it. Okay. And it's not clear to me whether or not these allegations were like accurate, but it is true that Amitabh's brother, who again was like wrapped up in this, he did successfully sue a Swedish newspaper for damages. So that makes me think they were able to prove that they weren't actually wrapped up in it, but it was enough to get Amitabh to resign his seat. But he did later say that he hated politics and he, like, wasn't super bummed about having to quit before, like, his term was up. And he says,
I'm going to go back to being an actor now.
Yeah, yeah. And he said that his biggest regret is that he failed to follow through on the promises he made during his campaign. Which I'm like, every politician does that, and I'm glad that you didn't like that you felt like you had to.
Right.
And he was also like, I wasn't good at this. I didn't know how to do it. I just did it for my friend. Mm-hmm. And I was, like, the most famous guy in the country, so it worked out. But so then he and Jaya later joined the Samajwadi Party, which is a socialist party in India, and later, in 2004, Jaya was elected to the Rajya Sabha, which is the upper house of parliament, or the Council of State, so, like, the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And so she, like, was elected to represent Uttar Pradesh in 2004. She has been reelected 4 times and is currently serving her 5th term in office.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
How did I not know that? She's incredible.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty rad. That's it. That was my research.
I like it. We learned new stuff.
I know. I did. I found all of that really, really interesting. Like, I had seen before that Amitabh was involved in politics and that it, like, maybe wasn't the greatest time in his life. But yeah, I was interested to learn why and what that all was about.
Yeah. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Bollywood news, or Bollywood stuff, I guess.
I still think of it as Bollywood news, Bollywood things that are happening. I do have a few things that I wanted to share with you.
Go for it.
First, the movie Sunny Sanskari Ki Tulsi Kumari. This is a Karan Johar Dharma Productions movie that's coming out, I think, in a couple of weeks. It might already be out by the time you're hearing this, but a trailer dropped for it since the last time we recorded. And so this movie stars Varun. It's also got Janhvi Kapoor. I don't think we've watched anything that she stars in. She had a cameo in Rocky or Rani, but I don't think...
Oh, yeah.
Like, I've seen her in stuff, but I don't know if you have.
Right. I don't think so.
But she is, like, you know, she's an up-and-coming star. She is a Nepo baby, you know. I think it's still kind of up for debate whether or not she's, you know, where she fits in and everything. But then not up for debate is Sonia Malhotra, who is amazing and I love dearly.
Yes,
And then also Rohit Saraf, who I also don't know that you've seen anything with him, but he's also great. So
You're excited.
fun cast.
So I'm excited.
Yeah, and it's Dharma Productions and it looks fun. It looks kind of like riotous and silly. It's like the two Varun and Janhvi's characters are like trying to sabotage their exes who are getting married, who are the other two. So
That sounds great.
yeah. So that'll be fun. And then the other thing, this is now we're shifting, we're heading south. We're heading down to Kerala here for this update.
We love Kerala.
We do love Kerala. So Loka is a Malayalam language film that was produced by Dulquer Salmaan's production company Wayfarer Films. And I had like seen the trailer for this and like the posters and him like advertising it and everything. It stars Kalyani Priyadarshan, who is she's the romantic female lead in Talumala, if you can, you know. So I've seen her in other stuff. She's amazing. And this appears to be a superhero movie. I think it's like she's a superhero in this movie.
I love that.
Pretty rad. Yeah, and it looks like kind of like it looks kind of dark and gritty, but like she's like a woman out there fighting crime, and I so like
A
yeah.
woman-centered superhero movie. Yes, please.
All about it. And so I was already really excited about this. There are already planned two more films that are a part of this Loka universe. One is starring Dulquer Salmaan as presumably some
Awesome.
kind of superhero. He's got
Oh my
like
God.
there's like sort of a ninja thing going on. And the other one, of course, is starring Tovey.
Oh, great.
And he's got he's got there's sort of like a magician thing going on. These are the things that
Love
I
it.
think I could be like so wrong, but these are the vibes that I sensed. So, yeah, this is all I care about now. This
Yeah,
is
I
the
was gonna
only thing I
say,
care about.
so basically you just this is what you will be watching. You'll
This
be
is,
watching
yeah.
this space for the next like 3 years.
However long it takes for me to get to experience the full cinematic world of this, I'm very excited.
Well, yeah, we should definitely make a point to watch them as they come out.
Yes, I'm very hopeful that Loka will be available to stream. It's not always the case that Malayalam language films are available for us, but this one, you know, it seems like it's a pretty big deal, and other movies that DQ has produced have been available to stream in the US, so I'm hoping that that will be the case.
Amazing. Thanks for sharing. It's a lot of good stuff to look forward to.
Yes, absolutely. And speaking of good stuff to, nope, that's not what we do next.
No, really quickly, really quickly. We gotta do
Yes,
pluggables.
I got excited.
So pluggables, follow us at Two White Girls Talk Bollywood on Instagram. Do what you do there. I will get around to updating it eventually. And also consider subscribing to us on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. You could even leave a rating and or review. But whatever you decide to do or not do, thank you so much for listening.
Thank you indeed. And join us on YouTube and Spotify where we keep our Bollywood bangers playlists and add the songs that we love from the movies that we watch to those playlists. Those also haven't been updated in a minute, but I'll get around to that. It's hard. Like, we go through a stretch where we don't watch movies with a lot of songs, and then we do, and I'm like, shoot, I gotta get on there and put that there. But
And
anyway.
like life.
Life also happens. Yeah, where you can find those in episode descriptions linked if you want to listen along. It's good stuff.
And now, Sam.
And now, yes. For next week, we're going to be watching the movie Metro in Dino.
I confess I've been loving this journey we've been taking in like the older films, the documentaries, but I'm also really excited to get back to a 2025 film.
Yes, me too. And we'll be back. We'll be back in the 70s. We've
For
already got a
sure.
plan. But yeah, this is a more recent movie. I'm super excited because it's directed by the same guy who directed Ludo, which is an amazing film, and it's got a lot of the same people who are amazing people. So I'm hoping it's going to be good.
At least entertaining.
At least entertaining. Yeah, that's enough for me. On IMDb, our plot description is, follows stories of bittersweet relationships in a contemporary setting, exploring various aspects, hues, and moods of love.
Oh.
So, yeah, no real plot description there. Just vibes.
But I like vibes. And, you know, it sounds nice that we're not necessarily looking at, like, action film now, you know?
It's love stories. And it also, it seems to be kind of a, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like multiple stories woven together, similar to Ludo. Like,
not an anthology, but...
But something like that.
Yeah. So it's available to watch on Netflix. And the synopsis on Netflix is Anurag Basu's spiritual sequel to the award-winning Life in a Metro. So,
oh, it's a sequel? Should we have watched the original first?
It's a spiritual sequel.
A spiritual sequel. Okay. Well, whatever that means.
Yeah. Not a real sequel, but like in essence of. Anyway, follows four couples grappling with love and heartache in Indian cities.
Nice.
Yes. Yeah, no, this sounds tasty. I'm here for it. I think it's going to be a great follow-up to Dwar. Yeah.
Certainly a different feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's good. You know, palate cleanser. But maybe not, because it says bittersweet in mine, so... Who knows? We'll just see.
We'll see. Maybe it'll be a journey. Some of them will make us cry. Some of them will make us laugh.
Yeah. Hopefully a good balance of both.
Yeah. So, watch it. I know I will.
I hope so.
And until next time, remember, Bollywood doesn't need us.
No.
But we need Bollywood.
Yeah. I can't think of anything let's just say
we definitely need Amitabh, and we're glad that he didn't stay dead.
We're glad he came back from the dead, and also that he left politics so he could be in more movies. I'm glad for both of those things.
Does that mean he's a zombie?
We
are heading into spooky season. I
paused because I was trying to make a portmanteau of zombie and Amitabh. Zombitab.
Oh my god, Zombitab's not half bad.
If it weren't problematic, I would want that to be my Halloween costume, but I can't do that. But somebody out there, please be Zombitab for Halloween.
Yes. Oh, that's brilliant. There we go. We ended there.
Yep, good. Okay, goodbye, everyone.